Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to come around your word together, to learn together. And I just ask that everything today that's from your spirit, that it would latch onto our minds and our hearts and our actions, and anything that is other than from your spirit would just fall away. And just calm my heart, open the hearts of all of us to listen, and I pray this in your name. Amen. So today, for our sermon on Galatians, we're going to start, as you might have expected, in Deuteronomy. So, as we've discovered from the series so far, the book of Galatians is all about freedom, right? Set free, live free, that's what we're talking about. But what are we set free from? According to Paul, it's freedom from slavery. We were once slaves to sin, now we're free in Christ, free to live in the way of God. Now the Israelites, of which Paul was one, were a people whose entire identity was shaped by their freedom from slavery. In fact, God reminds them constantly throughout the Old Testament of how he was the God who brought them out of slavery. I actually tried to do some research and find out how many times exactly he reminds them of this, but he says it so many times in so many different ways and wordings that I was like, I spent like probably a good like hour trying to figure out like an exact number. There's no way to get an exact number. It's so, well, somebody will do the work. It's not going to be me. It's very hard. So I can't give you an exact number, but it's pretty high. But my point is, God makes a point to remind the Israelites of their redemption from slavery. And their redemption from slavery is the exact thing that undergirds all of their moral decisions in their life. Where they came from is meant to shape the way that they view and they act towards others around them. So if you can, turn with me to Deuteronomy 24, verse 17 to 22. So this is what it says. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all of your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. So in this passage, God is reminding the Israelites, that even though they will still have the poor among them, they will still have all these marginalized peoples, they'll still have the orphan, the widow, their freedom is meant to be the motivation for looking out for these people on the margins. That's supposed to be the very thing that drives them to care for these people. The Israelites were given an opportunity to participate in God's heart for those who have no social capital, because they were once slaves who had no social capital. But why am I talking about Deuteronomy? This is a sermon on Galatians. So this passage in Deuteronomy struck me as important to our discussion because the heart of God is the same now as it was then. And both this passage and our Galatians passage today are speaking to the same question. The question, what is our freedom for? Do we use our freedom to do and get what we want? Or is biblical freedom something different? Now let's turn to Galatians. Our main text for today is Galatians 5, 13 to 15. And in this passage, we can see what Paul has to say about this question. What is our freedom for? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. So, according to Paul in this passage, freedom can be used in two ways. One way that serves the self or the flesh, which is something he's battling against through the entire letter, or another way that fulfills the entire law, serving others. So let's tackle the first one. So it's important to remind ourselves that freedom of choice by itself, or for Paul, the way he describes it, is freedom to indulge the flesh, is how we became slaves to sin in the first place. Sin enters the world because two people decided to use their freedom of choice for something other than what God intended. The story of Adam and Eve is so fundamental to this problem because their choice also represents the choice that every single human person who has ever lived makes and continues to make in some ways. The choice to pursue their own desires before God's. So there's a Christian philosopher named Dallas Willard, and he sums up the way we view freedom in our culture this way. He says, freedom itself is not regarded in terms of the inherent dignity and value of human beings, but rather as opportunity. Opportunity is not regarded as opportunity to do what is good and right, but to get what you want. We talk about them a lot, but the basic values in our society are not equality and freedom. They're actually pleasure and happiness. Or another way of putting it is our society basically has two values which come together. One is doing what you want to do, mistaken for freedom, and another is pleasure. But how does God want us to use our freedom then? St. Augustine, when he was fighting against Christian misuse of freedom in his own day, defined freedom as the grace of Jesus Christ allowing humans to pursue their God-given purpose. If our wills and our desires are misdirected and chasing after self-indulgence, where we think we have freedom, what we actually have is slavery to our own flesh. But if, through the sacrifice of Jesus and through the grace of God, the Spirit of God can be among us and unite us with a common purpose, then we have true freedom. But what's that common purpose? Well, Paul makes it quite clear. He says in verse 14, the whole law is summed up in this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. This means that for Christians, we are truly free when we use our freedom of choice to serve those around us. Now we're going to learn a little Greek. So in verse 13, Paul uses a very specific word to describe the type of service that we're intended to commit ourselves to. So I have a little slide for it. It's the word douleo. That's it. You can try to pronounce it, or I guess it's not douleo, douluo, or something like that. I'm not an expert. Pronounce it however you like. It's not. You're never going to have to look at it again, but if you get the point of what I'm saying, that's what matters. So this word is really punchy, and it grabs a lot of attention in this letter. For the original readers, it would have like given them like a blindsided smoke in the side of the face, like I'm telling you. But unfortunately, for English readers, a lot of translators let it fall completely flat. So we first read this passage in the NIV because I wanted to show you how different the translations actually sound. So I have a little slide with the two translations side by side, but I want to show you what it sounds like when it gets translated more faithfully. So in the NRSV, which is pretty much the only translation that actually gets kind of the point behind the word, this is what it says. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. Which is punchy, right? So sometimes we get so used to talking about service in our church context that we forget what we're even talking about. But in this passage, Paul makes sure that we do not confuse what we're trying to get at. This isn't an easy, non-committal type of service. This is a service where you are bound to the other person. And more specifically, to a community of people. Paul is using this metaphorically. I'm going to clarify. Of course, he's using it metaphorically. But it's important to note the intensity of this word. He spends the entire letter speaking against, or encouraging us in our freedom in Christ, speaking against going back into slavery to our former ways of living. He even says, our freedom is for the sake of being free. Don't use it to bind yourself to the yoke of slavery once again. And then shortly after that, what does he say? He says, but use your freedom to act as a slave to one another. It's intense. But what's interesting, it's my niece giving me a little encouragement. Thanks, Ruth. Appreciate it. What Paul's doing here is quite similar to what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus took the law, and he showed the people what the heart of God truly was behind his commandments. God didn't just care that we didn't kill each other, of course. He cares that we rid our hearts of hate towards one another. He didn't just care that we don't commit adultery, although we shouldn't commit adultery, but he cares that we would rid our hearts of lust. So what Paul's doing, God didn't just care that we left some grapes out so people who were marginalized could come and get them, although that's very important. He cares that we do whatever we can to look past the hierarchies in our midst and view ourselves as being at the very bottom of that hierarchy, the role of a slave. If you view yourself as being a slave to others, you view all others as greater and worthier than yourself. You can never hold yourself over another person. What's interesting, though, is that Paul, like we do, we know that hierarchies are still going to exist. They still do exist in our world, and lots of work has been done to remove some of those hierarchies. Like, in our part of the world, there's no actual slave trade or anything like that. A lot of incredible work was done by lots of people to eliminate that from our world. But there's lots of hierarchies that still exist. But Paul reminds us earlier in the letter in Galatians 3:28 that there's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. So even though we can't eliminate these hierarchies all at one time, inside God's community, we are given a different kind of hierarchy. We are given a hierarchy that goes both ways. It's a reciprocal hierarchy where every person becomes both the slave and the master, the one who serves and the one who is served. And when we look to others among us, no matter what position they hold in our world, we can look at them as someone who we can bind ourselves in service to. That's our purpose. That's what we were created for. We are given freedom so we can use it to devote ourselves to serving and caring for a community. Okay, some of you might be thinking to yourselves, this is Galatians 5 we're talking about here. Why haven't we talked about the fruit of the Spirit? That's what we're all here for, right? It's Galatians 5. That's the big ticket. So it's funny. I actually went to Pastor Scott myself, and I was like, please. Like, I saw it on the preaching schedule. There's nobody marked to preach. Can I take Galatians 5, please? Because I love this chapter. And one of the reasons why I love it so much is because I think oftentimes when we read this chapter, we skip right to the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what gets all the attention. And we don't even see the fruit of the Spirit in the larger context of the letter. So the fruit of the Spirit becomes another thing that we grab a hold of and make into something that's just about me. So we look at it as kind of a framework that we can see where we're at in our personal growth with Jesus. And so I can kind of chart myself on like, oh yeah, I'm doing well. And then it eliminates everyone else from the equation. But I want you to think about these fruit for a second. Let's say them together, actually. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sorry if your translations were different and that was confusing. That's the one I'm familiar with. If you think about these for a second, every single one of those characteristics would be entirely useless if you were by yourself. None of them would mean anything if you were alone. They only mean anything if you're in the context of a community. All of those only have value if we're serving one another and caring for one another. Why do you have to be patient when there's nobody to be patient with? Why do you have to be generous if there's nobody to be generous towards? You know, generosity isn't in there. Kindness, let's say. You don't have to be kind to anybody if there's nobody around. And also, and this is important, because this all sounds very intense. This looks different for everybody. Not every person is created to serve in the exact same way. Our created purpose is always serving others, and that never changes. But God uniquely gifts each one of us to serve in a different way, different capacity. And that's what Paul in 1 Corinthians is getting on about when he's talking about the image of the body. The body has many parts. Each part has to play its own role, which means we all serve in a different way. And if we aren't all serving in our own unique way, then suddenly I have an arm that doesn't work, or I have a foot that I can't walk on. Understand? Sorry. I'll try to give an example from my own life. It's a little bit of a funny one, but bear with me. I really like candy, like a lot. I really, really like candy. I always have. I don't know. It's always been like my kind of vice. I always like, it's never chocolate or like pastries, although I like those too. But if I was to have the option, I'm always going to candy. And I also really, really like getting caught in spirals of YouTube videos, like a lot of us I'm sure do. And then I also really like sleeping in. When I first graduated high school, gained a little independence, I thought that freedom was being able to buy all the candy I wanted and eat as much as I wanted, sleep in as late as I wanted, and watch as much TV and YouTube as I wanted, whenever. And these are still habits, if I'm honest, that drag me down in a lot of ways and get in the way of me being productive or, you know, serving others. But at their absolute worst, they actually made my body, made my mind, and made my spirit feel like absolute garbage. And I was no good to serve anybody. I was no good for anything. And this felt like freedom for a little while, But when you use your body and your mind constantly for serving yourself, it starts to break down. You're using it for something other than it was created for. And there's no freedom in being a slave to your own desires. Human desire really is a void. If you continue to let it take, it will continue to take. And YouTube and candy are funny examples, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Everybody has those things in their lives that you know if you keep giving it space, it will continue to take. Because we all have that tendency in our hearts. But fortunately, I mean, I hope I've grown up a little bit. After I grew up a little bit, I remember the first time I ever got to the opportunity to teach a group of people. I found a love of studying the Bible and had been serving in a church. I was 22, and my friend Cody, he asked me to fill in for a lecture that he was giving at church. And I loved the Bible then, like I do now, and I gladly agreed, kind of naively. Was like, oh yeah, I can take care of this big long lecture for sure, I would love to. But afterwards, I realized how much time, how much energy, you know, creating discussion questions, point forming everything, doing all of the endless amounts of research, getting caught down rabbit trails, it's a lot of work. And I started to dread the work that I had to do. I really didn't want to take care of it. I didn't want to do it. But by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, I managed to push through, finish my prep work, and I gave a 2-hour lecture on the book of Titus. It was a lot of fun. But there's this very distinct memory I have. In the middle of this lecture, after all that work, after all that pain and suffering that I went through, I had this moment. I was feeling so free. And in the middle of this flow, like giving and taking and conversation with those who were attending. And I remember having this thought. And I'm never going to forget this thought, because this is the moment where I felt God is calling me to this specific thing. He is calling me into my way of serving. And I had this thought. I thought, if I'm not doing this for the rest of my life, despite whether it sucks doing all the prep work, if I'm not doing this, I am missing the point entirely. I am in the wrong department if I'm doing something other than this. You know, sometimes we have to work jobs so we can do the thing that we're supposed to be doing. But if I'm not doing this in some capacity, I am out of left field. But the thing is, all the prep and all the work didn't feel like freedom. I didn't feel free at all. But what I discovered through this process is that true freedom is discovering how God has given you a gift, and whether or not you feel it, it's not for yourself, it's for others. So even in the midst of pushing through the pain of whatever way of serving you have, pushing through it for the sake of others is what really matters. I'll put it another way. I'm a really big fan of C.S. Lewis. I probably mentioned that the last time I preached, because I tend to mention it anytime somebody gives me the time of day. He's a master of metaphor. If anybody's read either his novels or any other works that he's produced, I always remember whenever he has a metaphor in a book of his, it always has helped me capture onto his ideas so much better. So I'm going to try. This is my attempt at being somewhat like C.S. Lewis. It's not the greatest metaphor, but I'm practicing. So I could decide tomorrow that I wanted to fly. I could. And I could use my freedom of choice, wake up in the morning. Let's say I came to work at the church. I climbed up to the roof of Buena Vista. And I used my freedom of choice to jump off the roof, deciding that I was going to fly. We all know how this is going to go. I'm going to hit the ground. I'm going to break my legs for sure. Maybe worse. And there's a good chance that I'm never going to be able to use my legs again. And they're going to be good for nothing. But if I woke up one morning and I decided to use my legs to run, to use them for what God made them for, to force them into submission, I am exercising true freedom. I'm going to experience pain still, maybe even suffering if I really push my body to the limit, but different from before, because I'm using my legs for their purpose, they will actually grow, they will become stronger, and they will be better and more capable of doing what they were created for. So what's my point? My point is, we all have this kind of decision in front of us every day. We can work against the grain of God's purpose for us and make our desires our master, decide we want to fly and break our legs, which is fruitless and only ends up in fruitless pain and suffering, or we can take the harder route, the harder initially the harder route, and we can exercise true freedom and allow the needs of others in our community to be our master and see the benefit and the capacity that we have grow as we use our legs to run further and further together as a community. So to close, I have a couple questions for us to think through. And these are questions that I think I really do believe, if it wasn't for people who spoke into my life and encouraged me in the things that I was good at and that I had to offer others, not for my own sake, but for the sake of a community. If people didn't do that for me, I don't think I would be here today. So this is, I'm really trying to, it has changed my life, honestly. So I want you to think, what are some things that might be getting in the way of your ability to serve others? We all have them, I still have them. Every person has those things that just kind of suck you in. They suck you in, they take your time, and at the end, they end up being fruitless. So what are you using your freedom for? And then another question, how has God called you to use your freedom? And that means, how has God uniquely gifted you to use your freedom? And this is what I kind of want to get at with the whole encouragement side of it. People encouraged me in my gifts, and that has changed my life. You have family, you have friends that you know you the best, more than anyone else in the world. I encourage you to go to them and ask them, say, not for my own sake, but for the sake of serving my community, what do you think I am the most gifted in? What do I have to offer? What do I have to lay my life down for a community? And this is something we can also do during coffee afterwards. Challenge each other, like look at each other. If you see someone in the congregation who you're like, you're really gifted in this, and maybe you don't know, maybe nobody's ever encouraged you before, go up to those people and remind them, like, you're very good at this, and I think the community could benefit from you using this gifting. That's my encouragement today. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your coffee.